In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany and had dinner with Martha and Mary and Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And there was this gathering that is actually of a very traditional nature. It was traditional among the Jews to come together and to have this dinner 6 days before the Passover. Jesus is beginning this week that we now call Holy Week, of all of those events that we will meditate upon in the evening services of this coming week, including the betrayal, the trial, the crucifixion, the burial, and then finally the triumph. This particular Passover is like no other Passover. This particular 7 days, you count the day that you're in. So that would be today, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7 days. During this 7 days, God will recreate the world. During this 7 days, God will recreate our humanity. He will change our humanity forever in Christ and through Christ so that we can join ourselves to His humanity, where all of the things that God intended for human beings are restored. That's why we baptize ourselves into this recreated life that is the life of Jesus Christ. He came and He shared our human life in this world so that He could do this work, so that He could destroy the power of death over us, which He has shown clearly that this is not some kind of metaphor or some kind of poetry. He can raise the dead. Lazarus, who was dead 4 days, beyond the 3 days that it takes for corruption to begin, 4 days, raised him from the tomb and restored him. This man, Lazarus, lived another 30 years, decades beyond his having been raised from the dead. Christ conquers death. We need have no fear of death because we know that He is the ruler of death. He will raise us on the last day. He has raised us already into a new life that we share with Him as Christians. And unfortunately, our faith is little. And even though we are baptized into His life, even though we have been sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, even though we renew our baptism regularly by coming to the sacrament of repentance and confession, and even though we receive His divine body and the life of His blood into our own bodies, we still go out and live in the world in fear of death. We still miss the mark by sinning in ways that are caused because of our tendency to rely upon ourselves and to worry and to fret about whether or not we are going to be able to deal with our lives. We go and we do things that are unworthy of Him out of vanity and pride in our own flesh in a way that is separate from God. All of these things in spite of the fact that God has come and given this new life to us and that we have been brought into membership in the body of Christ. We are misunderstanding in a way that the people who shout Hosanna are misunderstanding. When Christ rides the donkey, the foal of an ass, into Jerusalem, they recognize Him as the King. They recognize Him, Blessed Theophylact points out, they are recognizing Him as God when they call out, Hosanna, Hosanna. This is a cry that you only give when you are calling out to God for salvation. It means God save us now. God save us now. The one who comes in the name of the Lord, they are recognizing as the Lord, the Messiah, the one who has come, the Son of God. They are recognizing Him in all those kinds of ways. But unfortunately, their faith is still a faith in the things of this world. The triumph that they hope for is a triumph of a worldly nature. The triumph that they hope for in their own lives is a triumph of a worldly nature. And we have to ask ourselves, how much of our faith is the same? We are Christians. We, Orthodox, understand that that means that it is possible for us to actually live this new life that God has recreated in synergy with Him, sharing His divine life. Other Christians have lost this understanding. They believe that we are so totally corrupt that we cannot participate in our own salvation. Only the Orthodox remember that salvation means to be able to live a life through Christ that was not possible before He came and destroyed the power of death over us. We need not live in fear of death. Imagine Lazarus himself. This man was dead. How can there be any doubt in his mind, in his heart? He has been raised from the dead. He is reputed to have been a man of great peace of heart, great peace of soul, no fear of death. He was raised from the dead by Jesus the Christ, the one who assures us that He will raise us from the dead, that He has already raised us from a life of being one of the walking dead, by which we mean living a life as though Christ had not come, living a life as though we had no choice but depend upon ourselves to try to establish ourselves in some way in the world. And we don't have that peace, the peace that St. Paul spoke of when he wrote to the Philippians. And we heard him today. He gives us the guidance for living a life of calm and peace and contentment. That's what the passages were about that we heard today. Why are they read on Palm Sunday? Because Palm Sunday is that calm center, the eye of the storm. The chaos is about to begin. But here on this day, Christ is recognized, acknowledged openly by the crowds as the one that He actually is, though not in the way that they misunderstand, not in a worldly way. He won't be that kind of king. That's the kind of king they were expecting, but He will be the true king. He has come to establish God's dominion over creation, and we can share in His dominion, and we can share in this life of peace, even in the midst of any kind of chaos. And that's why we hear these words, assuring us of peace and giving us instruction in how to live a life of peace and contentment. We are told to, first of all, remember that the Lord is at hand. Christ is always at hand. He is always available. We are never in reality alone in that way that we experience when we forget God in sin and do things that are foreign to Him. Then we have the sense of being absolutely alone. No one can see us, what we are doing. We have the sense of being invisible to all of the others, and we do things that are terrible, worthy of blame, unworthy of ourselves, unworthy of Christ, unworthy of those that we call brothers and sisters in Christ, because we have that sense of isolation. There's no peace there. There's no peace in that kind of sin. And so we are told to remember that Christ is always at hand. We are never alone. God is with us. And we are given the advice by St. Paul that we should meditate on whatever is true, noble, pure, and just. Meditate on these things. Imagine how different that is from the kind of meditation that we do when we watch television programs or go to see the motion pictures that we go to to see. Oftentimes, I think I really would like to find something to watch that will be that kind of meditation. It's not unimaginable that there could be something that we could read or something that we could watch that would be a meditation on all of the things that are good and true and noble and pure and just. True in the sense of being straight, morally straight. Just in the sense of everything being in place the way it ought to be. Meditation on such things brings us together and centers us in our life in Christ. And it brings peace. St. Paul tells us that we should meditate on whatever is worthy of being loved. The word in the King James, or the translation that we read this morning, is lovely. And it sounds like, oh, nice, pretty things, you know. But if you look up the Greek word that is being used there, that St. Paul is using there, what it means is whatever is worthy of love. Whatever we can look at and we can say with that Greek word of approval, axios, it is worthy. It is worthy of being loved. Meditate on those things. Meditate on those things that make our hearts and our minds noble. There is even a way of using this meditation in our prayer. Recently, I heard words of Bishop Callistos that had to do with St. Isaac the Syrian. And you know how when we pray, we try to say our prayer to God with attention to the prayer. But at the back of our mind, there is a wandering. There is a wandering going on. And most of the spiritual fathers, the spiritual guides, tell us, you need to put a stop to that wandering of the mind. It's very difficult to do. St. Isaac of Syria has a different kind of advice for us, Bishop Callistos says. Maybe it's not so bad if your mind wanders a little, but when your mind wanders, let it meditate on these things that St. Paul is recommending. So guide even the wandering of your mind. Use it as a recreation, not when you're praying so much, but at other times when we're reading, if we read those things that give us this kind of experience of meditating on things that are high and noble and pure and good and just, it leads to a more peaceful heart, a more peaceful soul. If we watch things and we read things that stir us up and get our egos feeling as though they actually exist instead of being the phony non-realities that they really are, then our peace is gone. We're told that we should guard our peace. We don't need to fear death. We can be calm in our life with the assurance similar to the assurance that Lazarus himself had. Death has no terror for him. Death need have no terror for us either. With our faith in Christ, the one who has trampled down death, we have the experience as Christians of knowing that there is something more real than death. There is an eternal life that we can experience and that we can share. And St. Paul gives us a famous prayer, a famous blessing. May the peace that passeth all understanding be yours in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.